you were before the throne of Christ, you had been summoned there by Jesus himself. And he said that he had something to say to you. What would he say? What words would you expect him to say on that occasion? Would he say he was disappointed in you? Would he say that, just like he said to his disciples, how much longer shall I bear with you? How much more do I have to put up with from you? I know for me that there are certainly times that I would not at all be surprised if those were the words that I heard from Jesus. I do not measure up to his standards. I have disappointed him time after time. I find myself ashamed, knowing that I have failed him, knowing that I have not been what I needed to be. In this series on Jesus and the reign of Jesus, Jesus on the throne, we've taken a look at a couple of Psalms in Psalm 2 and Psalm 110 that describe Jesus, the King, absolute in his rule and how he crushes his enemies and how there is no one that can stand before him in rebellion. And that is certainly a very important part of Jesus' reign. But I would suggest to you that that's not the primary reason for his reign. Oh, sure, the enemies have to go, and he will crush all the enemies, and they do need to be judged. But the reason the enemies have to go is because, as the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 2 in verse 10, he is busy bringing many sons to glory. Jesus is reigning so that he can bring salvation to his people. And in so doing, for those of us who are truly wanting to subject ourselves to the King, to the reigning King, then we can be assured that in spite of our failings, in spite of disappointing our Lord, in spite of not living up to His standards, as long as we are subjecting ourselves to Him and striving to follow Him, we can be assured that we will not hear those words from Jesus. That we will not hear how disappointed He is in us. Rather, we will hear comforting words. Words of assurance and comfort and salvation and peace and joy. Please turn with me to Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11, we're going to be looking at that chapter and the subsequent chapter, chapter 12. As we continue this series on the reign of Jesus, I want to look this morning at Jesus, our salvation. Isaiah 11 and 12 is a prophecy of that coming Messiah who we know as Jesus and his rule and what would happen in that day that he came and what would be affected by his reign and what he would accomplish. And the main thrust of this is that he does bring salvation to his people. In Isaiah 11 and verse 1, beginning, it says, "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse." New King James says rod, your version may say a shoot. The idea here is of this branch or of this little small sapling, maybe the coming forth from the roots of a tree and growing into the reign of Christ here as it's pictured. "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse," that of course is David's father, so from the household of Jesse, from the household of David, "and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. Here pictured in these first five verses is this coming Messiah, this descendant of David, the one who would rule. But notice how he would rule. We've talked about how, yes, he would crush his enemies, how he will slay his enemies, and these verses even speak of that. But he does so with righteousness, with faithfulness, with equity. He is a fair and true judge. He will rule not as a tyrant, but as one who is wanting the best for his people. And he upholds those who are following him. He upholds those who are oppressed. He upholds the poor and the meek of the earth. He's looking out for his people. Jesus is reigning so that he can bring salvation and peace to all peoples. And doing so certainly does include the doing away with the enemies. And it includes this righteous judgment. But in this process, he does so with fairness and with truthfulness and righteousness. And he brings peace to the peoples. First thing I want us to see from the first 10 verses, we're going to read verses 6 through 10 next, is that Jesus' reign brings salvation and peace to all peoples. Now understand, when Isaiah is prophesying these words, when he is speaking this, he is writing in the 8th and 7th century. He overlapped the two centuries, B.C. And he's looking forward to a day sometime in the future. There is no time indicator in his prophecy as to when exactly this would happen. But of course, God's people were the Jews, the Israelites. But yet what Isaiah says here is that God's reign, Jesus' reign on the throne, the Messiah's reign is going to be bringing peace and salvation to all people. And that Jesus stands as a banner, as a signal for all nations. Continue with me in verse 6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. In these great poetic, in this great poetic language here, in this picture that Isaiah paints for us, you have all these animals that are grazing together, lying down together, interacting with one another, animals that normally would not be at peace and harmony with each other. Leopards don't usually lie down with young goats and wolves with lambs. Usually the wolves eat the lambs and the leopards eat the goats. And the lion and the calf don't usually, you don't see them together unless the lion is trying to eat the calf. And it says, when does a little child play with snakes and stick his hand in the viper's den and not be afraid? When is it that the young ones of the cow and the bear would lie down together and graze together? The lion is eating straw like the ox. Because the lion is no longer this ferocious beast. But what you have here is a picture of peace amongst all the peoples. Verse 10, there's that root of Jesse again. Here's the Messiah. And where is he? What is he doing? He is standing as a banner, as a signal to the people. And the Gentiles will seek him. And they want to come to his resting place because it is glorious. Jesus, our salvation. We are the nations. We are the Gentiles, of course. I don't think there's anybody in here that is ethnically a Jew. And so, give God thanks. Give Jesus thanks that His reign brings salvation and peace to all of us. He brings peoples together that would never normally be together. He ends hostilities. I don't know how many of you have ever kept up with maybe reports of evangelists that work in other countries. Maybe go on various preaching trips to other countries. David Maxson is a friend of mine. He works with a church in Northport. And just recently he got, just I think yesterday or the day before, he got back from a preaching trip to Sierra Leone. And he was posting some pictures on Facebook of people there that are Christians, people that he worked with, he and others that went with him on that trip. And he talked about the baptisms that took place. And brethren, you have more brothers and sisters in Christ now within the last week because of the work of David and others there in Sierra Leone. These are people that you will probably never meet and people that you would never have anything in common with, people that you would know nothing about were it not for the salvation that comes through the reigning King. Jesus brings all people together. In the ancient world, He brings Gentiles and Jews together. In our modern culture, He brings black and white together. He brings all nations together. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter their background. Everyone can have salvation in Jesus Christ, and everyone is offered a glorious resting place with Jesus. Jesus is our salvation, and He brings salvation and peace to all. And then as this poetic picture continues in verse 11 of Isaiah 11, you have pictured here the fact that Jesus' reign, yes, He's bringing salvation, and the way He does that is He makes it possible to reach God. Jesus' reign makes it possible for us to come from where we were and make our way towards God. Because without Jesus' reign, we would not be able to come to God. Read with me beginning in Isaiah 11 and verse 11. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set His hand again the second time to recover the remnant of His people who are left from Assyria and Egypt, from Pathros and Cush, from Elam and Shinar, from Hamath and the islands of the sea. He will set up a banner for the nations and will assemble the outcast of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Also, the envy of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not harass Ephraim. But they shall fly down upon the shoulder of the Philistines toward the west. Together they shall plunder the people of the east. They shall lay their hand on Edom and Moab, and the people of Ammon shall obey them. The Lord will utterly destroy the tongue of the sea of Egypt. With His mighty wind He will shake His fist over the river and strike it in the seven streams and make men cross over dry shod. There will be a highway for the remnant of His people who will be left from Assyria as it was for Israel in the day that He came up from the land of Egypt. Do you see what God is doing here through the reign of the Messiah, through the reign of Jesus the Christ? He is taking all His people that have been scattered everywhere and bringing them back. He is making a highway to the Messiah, a highway to God. All those nations He mentioned, those are all enemies of God's people in ancient times. And understand that Isaiah is prophesying in the time and living in the time when he has witnessed Israel already taken captive by Assyria. They're already gone. They're already destroyed. And on the horizon, Babylon is rising to power. And they're going to be coming shortly after Isaiah's time and taking Judah away captive. Isaiah says, in that day, the day of the reigning king, he's going to gather all those people back. His people will not be scattered anymore. But he will gather all his people from all the nations and bring them in, and he's going to build a highway. And he uses the picture of Egypt and how the Israelites in ancient times, underneath the leadership of Moses, how he struck the sea with the wind and parted the waves, made a highway out of bondage and into freedom. Jesus, the Messiah, he does the same thing with his people today. He makes it possible for us to reach God. Have you ever talked with someone about how to get to a particular location, and maybe it's a really difficult location to get to, especially from where you are, and sometimes you may say or hear someone say, well, you can't get there from here. You gotta go over there, and you gotta do this, and I mean, it's just difficult to get there from here. You just really can't do it very easily. Folks, when it comes to us reaching God, if it wasn't for Jesus, we couldn't get there from here. Jesus makes it possible. His reign makes it possible for us to reach God. He is that highway. He is the one that will bring peace to all peoples. He will bring people out of all their scattered places, all from the enemy nations. And then did you notice in verse 13 what he says about Ephraim and Judah? Ephraim is synonymous with Israel. That's the northern nation of Israel. Judah, the southern nation. And he says, Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not harass Ephraim. Not only will there be peace between, or will there be the people being brought out from all the enemy nations, but even the Israelites themselves are being pictured here as not fighting with each other anymore. There was not peace between Israel and Judah. There was war at times, in fact. But even that will be gone. And everybody's going to be flying down. Everybody's going to be rushing to the banner that is set up. And while it's not specifically stated here, we know from other passages, the idea is here in Zion, here in Jerusalem, you have the king reigning, and everybody is flowing to Zion. All these people are coming because of the reign of Jesus. Without Jesus' reign, we would not be able to approach God. Without Jesus' reign, we would have no hope of standing justified in His presence. We would have no call to come to be part of His people. Jesus' reign makes it possible for us to reach God. Ignore the chapter break of chapter 11 and 12. It's one of those unfortunate chapter breaks because the subject continues. And what we have in chapter 12 is what our response to this glorious day of the Messiah should be. And now notice all the times that he has said in that day. Look, for instance, in verse 10 of chapter 11. He says that in that day there should be a root of Jesse standing as a banner to the people. Gentiles will seek him. Also, verse 11, it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will then recover the remnant of his people. And in chapter 12, you have it twice. You have it there in verse 1. He says, in that day you will say. And then again in verse 4, in that day you will say. We're talking about the day of Jesus, the Messiah, reigning and bringing salvation to the peoples. In that day, this is what will happen. Look at what our response is, should be. Remember, this is a time that is future for the people that Isaiah is writing to and is prophesying to. But it's not future for us. That day is now, brothers and sisters. We are in that day because Jesus is reigning. This is the day that Isaiah was talking about. You and I are living in that day. Isaiah 12, verse 1. And in that day you will say, O Lord, I will praise you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day, you will say, Praise the Lord. Call upon His name. Declare His deeds among the peoples. Make mention that His name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for He has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. What does Jesus' reign do for us? And what is our response to the salvation that Jesus brings? It should be nothing short of bursting forth with exuberant praise for our God. We cannot hold it in. We cannot but speak. How can we keep quiet? How can we not praise Him? How can we not exclaim and proclaim the deeds of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? That anger of God is turned away. Remember how I said that I would not be surprised if Jesus was to say to me how disappointed He was in me? I'm certainly deserving of that kind of a statement from Jesus. But look at what Jesus' salvation can do for us. It can turn that dread and that fear of standing before Jesus and His throne, knowing that we do not measure up to what He has prescribed for us, it can turn that dread and fear into comfort. Because if we have subjected ourselves to Him as our King, if we are subjecting to His rule, then we can echo these sentiments. And we can say to our King, though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away and you comfort me. Do you have that peace and comfort? Can you say that to our Lord? Or do you live in fear? Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. He is my strength and my song. If you are subject to the King, you have nothing to fear. If you are letting Jesus reign in your life, you have nothing to fear. In spite of your shortcomings, in spite of your failings, in spite of the times that you sin, as long as you pick yourself back up and you say, I'm not going to do that again and I'm going to strive to live for Him, you can say these words that He is my comfort. He is my salvation. I will not be afraid. I love verse 3. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, Praise the Lord, call on His name. But look at verse 3, the drawing water from the wells of salvation. I guess this would be better told on an extremely hot dog days of August kind of a day, but we've all experienced it, where we're parched. We're very thirsty. We need refreshing. It's a hot, blistering day. And there's just not much better than that nice, cold glass of water. And Isaiah says, you go to that well of salvation. And you bring up that water. And you drink. And you can just picture it. Bringing up the water from the well. And some of you are old enough to have actually lived that way. Or you had a well. And you bring up that cold water. And you have maybe that ladle. And you drink from the ladle. For most of us, it's going to the fridge. And getting a glass of cold water from the fridge. But the picture here is one of in need of refreshment. And Jesus brings that. And he says, imbibe upon the waters of salvation. Drink it in and be refreshed. Take it in and feel that comfort. Feel that salvation. Drink from that. And you will do so with joy. And when that's the case, when you do that, when you understand what Jesus offers you, when you understand that you can have that salvation and that you need not fear, then our ultimate response should be, praise the Lord, call upon His name, declare His deeds among the peoples. We sing out, we cry out, we shout for joy because the Holy One is in our midst. He is here right now dwelling with us. We are in that fellowship with Him. This is what Jesus brings. Look over at Romans 15, please. Romans 15. Romans 14 and 15 are the subject matter of Jews and Gentiles dwelling together in Christ Jesus and trying to overcome those long-standing barriers. And Paul quotes from several different passages to talk about the Gentiles being brought into the family of God and what that brings. He says in verse 7, Romans 15, verse 7, therefore receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as it is written, for this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles, and sing to your name. Quoting from Psalm 18. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with His people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud Him, all you peoples. And again, Isaiah says, and he quotes from our text this morning, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in Him the Gentiles shall hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. What does Jesus bring? What does Jesus' reign bring? What does His salvation bring? It brings hope. It brings joy. It brings peace. All of that because of what He has done and how He has made it possible for us to approach God through His sacrifice. And so how can we keep it in? How can we keep quiet? Why should we keep quiet? Why should we not, especially in our services, be shouting and crying out with joy in our singing? If you understand what God has done for you, you won't sit there quietly when we sing. If you really appreciate what God has done for you, then you will shout for joy. If you appreciate and know the power of Jesus Christ and what He brings to all and what He offers to all, then you will not keep quiet when you're talking with a colleague from work. You will not keep quiet when you're talking at lunch with your school friends. You will not keep quiet when you are having that conversation with your neighbor. But you will proclaim the excellent deeds of our Savior Jesus Christ and the salvation that He brings. What is our response to this salvation? It should be bursting forth in exuberant praise. How can we not exclaim and proclaim the salvation through Jesus Christ? This salvation is still being offered. Jesus is still on the throne. There's going to come a day, though, that He does put an end to all the enemies, and His reign comes to an end, and He hands everything back over to God the Father. It'll be too late at that point. That'll be the time for judgment. But you can have peace with God right now, and you can have peace with God when you stand before Him at His throne. Satan is always accusing. Satan is always saying to God and to you, you're not good enough. But he's been defeated. Remind you of the words that Peyton read this morning in Revelation 12 and verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. Satan has been defeated, brethren. Don't let him take you down with him. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. This morning I encourage you, submit to the King. Receive that salvation. Receive the peace and the comfort and the joy that comes through serving the King. In spite of the times you fall, in spite of the accusations that Satan makes against you, you can overcome. You can have that salvation. And you can sing praise and proclaim all the Lord's deeds, and you can rejoice in your salvation. If, however, you don't feel confident in what Jesus would say to you when He summons you to His throne, then you need to take some action this morning in assuring yourself that you have that salvation. If you have not been baptized into Jesus Christ, you need to come to Him this morning so that you can stand before Him justified by having your sins washed away in baptism. If you are a Christian but you have not been living properly, if you know there is something that you need to change in your life, do it. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to say with Isaiah and with all the saved, your anger has turned away. I will not be afraid. Make sure that you are not afraid this morning. If we can help you, come as we sing number 22.